Okay, we're about to begin a new sugya. It's a sugya of Sachman Filatino. So this is, again, starts as a postponed sugya, but very, very quickly becomes a Hilchos Brachos. We've seen that already in the past. Other related issues. So the sugya begins, so the Gemara discusses what bracha does the person have to recite on tefillin, and how many brachas does the person have to recite on tefillin. What makes tefillin so confusing is that, I would say this very, very diplomatically, it's one mitzvah slash two mitzvahs.
Not cold today.
Okay. I guess it matches the air in the room right now.
Yeah.
So putting aside for the particulars of minyan and mitzvahs, whether tefillin counts as one mitzvah, two mitzvahs, of course, is a loaded question. But obviously, there are certain similarities between Shoyan and Shirosh. They're both square boxes with black materials, and they both have parshas in them. On the other hand, they have the same fashion. On the other hand, they're different. There's a shin in one, and the shin are different. They're one of four boxes, but one box. So it's not exactly clear what the relationship should be between these two mitzvahs, one plus two mitzvahs, in terms of brachas. Should one bracha suffice for both or not? That's question number one. Question number two is, assuming that, either way you assume, whether you assume one bracha, two brachas, should talking in between have any impact whatsoever on the role of the bracha? So that's the loaded sugya to all four lines in Menachos Chacham Vav Amud Aleph. The Gemara says that clearly talking plays some kind of a role, and it is unclear what that role is. And to make things even more complicated, it's not clear what the halacha should have been before the person talked. So otherwise, we have everything clear. Everything is down pat. We understand everything. Except what we don't know. We don't know how many brachas to make up in all circumstances. We have no idea why talking makes any bit of a difference. And what talking accomplishes, I'm not sure what we do know clear about the sugya, but that's what has to be determined as the sugya develops. So the sugya starts off with the machlekes in Rashi and Rabbi Natan. What's supposed to happen? Is that an ear noise?
Yeah.
The sugya starts off with the machlekes Rashi and Rabbi Natan. What's supposed to happen under normal circumstances? Forget the talking for a second. Normal circumstance. A guy comes to the shul, he's about to put on a shoyat, so we already know it's got to be over Lasiyasa, it can't be over the over. We got time in the bracha, right? What bracha does he make? There's no question that it makes a bracha like have Tillin, ties the knot. Again, according to Ben Yom, Mamish, Tillin ties the knot, according to Ben Tam, tightens the knot, and he's good to go. So he just finished putting on the shoyat. Now he's going to put on the shoyat with a bracha, without a bracha. So Rashi says, under normal circumstances, there is no bracha. Why should there be a bracha? You just made a bracha and niyach tefillin. Shall Ya'ar fulfill? And shall Rosh fulfill? So you made a bracha and niyach tefillin that covers both of them. That's what's supposed to happen. That's a normal protocol according to Shittas Rashi. According to Shittas Rabbi Natan, that is not normal protocol. According to Shittas Rabbi Natan, you make a line niyach, tighten it up, and now you're about to perform another mitzvah, a separate mitzvah. You may even, if you're writing a sefer mitzvah, you may even count this as two mitzvahs. So you're about to perform a separate mitzvah. Make another bracha. I understand when I sat at the sukkah, I shook a move. Did it make a separate bracha? There's one time in the sefer sukkah that says if you do a lot of mitzvahs, you make one bracha. Shem Yisrael on all mitzvahs. That was Rabbi Yehuda's view. We don't pass it. We pass it that each and every mitzvah gets its own bracha. So Rabbi Tam says the same way. I make one bracha on my talis. I make another bracha on my tefillin, and I make a bracha on my lulav and a bracha on my matzah. Each mitzvah gets its own bracha. The Shem Rosh gets its own bracha as well. So that's the normal protocol. Lefishi is Rashi, Lefishi is Rabbi Natan. But comes the Gemara and says that if you talk, then everything changes. The whole world is different, right? If you talk, then an extra bracha is going to be made. The question is, what is that extra bracha? What is that special bracha that's going to be added? So now Rashi and Rabbi Natan step up to the plate, each one in their own understanding. But according to Rashi, the normal protocol was the Haniyah covers both. If you spoke, so then you broke up the continuity, you broke up the ability for the bracha laniach to relate to the shorosh. You are masik, like any other hesek of mitzvah. I make a bracha on a mitzvah, and I talk, so I have to make a new bracha. So here, Chazal instituted a very, very strange thing. The bracha got room, the bracha got lost, the bracha got interrupted, so you have to make a new bracha according to Rashi. What bracha do you think you should make? If I was you, I would make one. Make another laniach. Like, why not? So what is Rashi? What did Rashi respond? What if you want to say what did Rashi? No. Then you recite what bracha? You change the bracha. You make a bracha al mitzvah tefillin. Very generic. Al mitzvah tefillin. Why is that? what was wrong with the bracha lahaniach? After all, under normal circumstances, lahaniach does cover the shorosh. So why does somehow the bracha, if you're only making the bracha the shorosh, why does the nuscha bracha change to become al mitzvah tefillin? Any ideas?
Because you already put on tefillin, so you can't make that bracha anymore. You already put on mishayat.
I mean, you can't make lahaniach the shorosh. So you're saying that the al mitzvah tefillin, you're almost like focusing on the dictum a little bit. So al mitzvah tefillin is more of a, almost like in the past also a little bit. Unlike lahaniach, you know, throw back the sugars of psachim with Zion. But before I have a kasha, because the bracha you're about to make is not really related to the shoyah. It's a different mitzvah. I'm making a new bracha now. So, l'chora, I should just, what happened. History is over. I'm standing in front of you right now, and I want to know, I'm about to put on shorosh, and I blew the line. I grew, I spoke, someone asked me what the ball game was, last night. I thought, I tossed a piece of shot. Okay, I'm chos me, I'm a chomer, I'm going to warn you, okay, I got the whole picture. I'm about to rabbi, what do I do now? What bracha do I make? If I had a vote on the bracha, I would say make the same bracha. So Chazal didn't say that. Why not? You would just think just a little bit longer as to why that changes. What's the nature of the fact that the bracha changes? Do you think that's a din of what or a din of what? Who wants to plug in the two boxes?
Maybe you could say that it's a din that you still, when you make the first bracha and put on the shayat, you're already accomplishing something. So if you're accomplishing something, so you shouldn't make the same bracha again because you already accomplished something while putting on the shayat.
Okay, so I think what you're saying is, again, correct me if I'm wrong, I think what you're saying is that this is really a brachas issue. This is not really a chas tefillin issue. Almost like brachas issue dictates that to have a guy make the exact same bracha 2 seconds apart, it just doesn't look right in terms of his brachas. The Bishlam, let's say, I made a bracha shek, showed to the alachil snatza, and I started to talk. Right? So I have to make another bracha. So what bracha am I going to make?
Alachil
snatza. I mean, there is no other bracha, right? Like what other pot am I going to make? I'm going to make a shek, what am I going to make an alachil snatza? But if I had a choice, if I could somehow come up with some kind of nusach bracha that would be appropriate, it somehow looks better that I don't repeat the same bracha, especially because the first bracha was already home. The first bracha was chal. In the case that the guy talks before he eats out his matzah, the first bracha was just on matola. Just the bracha was dust in the wind, disappeared in the thin air and the mind. So you start them all over again. Over here, the lahaniach registered. I got per check for lahaniach, and then to make another lahaniach. So when it was bracha, that's a little bit more. So that's maybe the reason why Chazal changed in this. Or maybe we're going down the wrong path. Maybe this change in Nuscha Bracha does not indicate anything about Hilchos Brachas, but indicates something about Hilchos what? What about Hilchos Tefillin? That the Bracha of Al Mitzvah Tefillin perhaps is the more appropriate Bracha
for the
Shorosh than it is for the Shoyah. Now, if you can use one Bracha and not both, it's not the Lahaniach is wrong on the Shorosh. I mean, it is Lahaniach and Tefillin, so it makes sense, it could be okay, and therefore we're not going to be minor Brachas for that purpose. But if Balav Hochi has to make another bracha, because the first lahaniach got lost in the shuffle, it got broken up by Hafsek. So anyway, Balav Hochi making another bracha. So the more correct bracha in terms of Chos Tefillin is Al Mitzvah Tefillin, not the lahaniach Tefillin. Why is that? What is it? What is it at all? Because even if you look carefully at Lashon HaPasuk, there's always a little bit of a difference between the way the Torah presents the mitzvahs of Tefillin Shayat Jerosh. Ukshartam Liosa Yadecha is like a maisa. It's like a maisa shira, almost like a maisa hanocha. So how you look at the first bit of necha is almost kind of like passive. I don't really have to do anything. I can be yotzei lahaniach tefillin if somebody ties his tefillin on me also. Don't get me wrong on that. That's a fair shikamach. But the nature of hanocha tefillin shorosh is a little bit more of the tefillin are there on me. It's almost like a little more chetz oriented rather than me personally doing any maisa. Therefore, the nusch of al mitzvah tefillin is more appropriate if anyway the shayab is covered by the lahaniach. And now it's just a question of I need a bracha, quick rabbi, I spoke, so give me a bracha that's most appropriate for Rosh. The tefillin of Rosh lend themselves more to al mitzvah. So where did we find such an idea, such a concept that there's a little bit of a nuance of difference between the shayab and shayab Rosh? We saw this already on potential level of their Isa.
We said that when we're doing shayab, the talking about the non-mitzvah. tefillin, you're saying how to make out the right thing.
Remember, there are three shittas in Rishayim. What do you have to do in terms of kesher? How are you kosher still daily? According to Rabbeinu Levi, you only got a tie and shishah and a shirosh every single day. According to Rabbeinu Tam, neither one is true. And Tesis quoted the possibility of chal. What was the possibility?
Solution
was, the Yom is more correct than Rishayim, and Rabbeinu Tam is a little bit more in sync with the shirosh. Why is that? Because that's a lashon pasuk. So that was on a level of the Araisa. That sheet of the third sheet of Taisos was trying to machmir a level of the Araisa, because if the Araisa make a difference between the Maisa and Mitzvah Shoyan and Shorosh. So perhaps that's what's behind this, the difference on a level of the Rabban, in terms of whether we're choosing the Nuscha Bracha, we opt for Amitzvah's split if we can. So maybe that's what's going on behind the scenes in Sheetah's Rashi, perhaps. But according to Benetam, none of that's happening. According to Benetam, every person's making Lahaniyach. And every person's making Amitzvah still. And then the guy talks. And the guy talks, and the world changes. What changes when the guy talks? He has to make not a second bracha, but a third bracha. What's the third bracha? We don't have a new bracha, so it's got to be one of the two. So what is it?
Yes.
It's new Laniyah. What is Rabbeinu Tam holding? Rabbeinu Tam is saying that Laniyah, every Sharosh needs Laniyah. Laniach is good because of tefillin. That bracha has got to be found every time you put on either shayach or rosh. There must be laniach there. If you behaved yourself a little poor, so then laniach covers both, and then mato. And if you spoke, then the laniach got lost in the shuffle, got into it, got lost, got went up to there, it's got to be repeated. But, says Rabbi Natan, laniach is not good enough by itself with the shorosh. Shorosh all of a sudden requires a what?
Oh, it's fast.
A new mitzvah, a new bracha. And all mitzvahs tefillin. I'm up the story. A strange thing. Shorosh, under normal circumstances, gets two brachas. The Laniach and the Shayat is chal on it. Harai is chal on it, because if you spoke, then you have to repeat it. So the Shorosh is chal on the mitzvah of Laniach. And in addition, you also need the bracha of Al Mitzvah's film. So that Rabbeinu Tam is startling. Startling. Why is that startling, Rabbeinu Tam? When that presentation of Hilchos Brachos and Tefillin is mind boggling.
You're going to get two brachas
for one mitzvah, really? That's mandat. That's strange. Very, very strange. Two brachas for one mitzvah. And a very decision. What did I have? Ooh. Anyone who listens to Halacha in the mornings, we've had Birkas Torah. We've had a Shekhi Shalom, Lassim, and Torah. But I'm not sure. We have multiple brachas possibly. Birkas Torah. Any others?
At the Seder, you make two brachas on matzah?
So that's a little different. Because you're stuck, you have to eat. So you have no choice. You have to make hamotzi, and then you have to make. So it's like burpee and brachas and kiddush. So that's, I need two birkas mitzvahs. When do you ever do a mitzvah and recite Asher Kiddushan of X and then Asher Kiddushan of Y? Where do we find something? Asher Kiddushan of X and Asher Kiddushan of Y?
We'll have also the Hanukkah.
Yes. Okay, so Hanukkah is also tricky because you are 100% right that the second bracha is not Asher Kiddushan. So my Hanukkah is pretty obvious that the first bracha is a birkas mitzvah, but the second is called birkas mitzvah. It's a low and everyone's okay, good. I'm looking for a mitzvah. I'm trying to zero in on a mitzvah. It starts out with the word, the Shekhi Nishan mitzvah, it's one of X, and then 2 seconds later, Shekhi Nishan mitzvah, it's one of Y. No, tzitzis, you just make one less out there, whatever the nusach is, you make. I'm still looking, still searching. You guys, come on, you've heard it plenty of times. Idea. Share kizi shalom mitzvah tzvaro al ha mila is recited by the moil, and then 2 seconds later, share kizi shalom mitzvah to lachnisa b'shalom avinu recited by the father. Mind-boggling, right? Two brachas mitzvah. So one mitzvah. Very, very strange. Now that in itself is strange. But maybe that's less strange than tefillin. Why is it less strange than tefillin? Because it's... Because
there you're accomplishing two things. Like, one's on the action, the other, like, the father's, like,
so in other words, it could be, the way I presented it, that the mother does the first one, and the father says the other one. So it's almost like there are two kind of mitzvahs here. There's the general mitzvah that everyone has to give a bris. We have a responsibility to make sure every Jewish kid has a bris. Then there's a special chovas ha'av, lachnisa b'yisrael avinu. Right? So maybe that's not so bad. Maybe that's a little bit more understandable, more comprehensible. Maybe Lach Nisa was actually not even a Berachas Mitzvah. Maybe it's a Berachas Shevach. It doesn't sound that way, but sounds and sights can be deceiving. There are brachas every once in a while that start with the Shekhi Nishanu that don't necessarily constitute Berachas Mitzvah. Anyone know which ones? It's a very famous one. Is the Torah maybe one? Anyone know a very famous, very, very famous one? Asher Kiddushan Mitzvah Mitzvahnu. So the Chalik is the Ram and the Rosh. Is that bracha under the chuppah? Is that a bracha mitzvah? Is that a bracha shevach? Is that on the mitzvah marriage or on the celebration of the institution of marriage? So brachas can be a little bit deceiving. So let's get back to our story. So here, when it comes to tefillin, we have one bracha and then another bracha. That's normal kunter benedat. Rashi, that's not normal. Kunter benedat. Normal protocol is two brachas for shel rosh. Which is very, very strange. Does that lead us to believe the second bracha is more of a berachas shevach? Does that lead us to believe that maybe there's a separate kiyum, a second kiyum of shel rosh, different from the shel yad? We looked at a tefillin and was trying to think through what's going on according to Rabbeinu Tam. But something strange is happening according to Rabbeinu Tam. So again, it's chas b'sechtu. Don't machlokes like rashi Rabbeinu Tam. The chiddush starts with what do you do under normal circumstances, and then of course that impacts it. What do you do when you speak? Everyone agrees that speaking causes a problem. How do we paskin the halachah as well as rashi in the town? So, hope everybody knows. It's machlokes b'chaber darbo. The machlokes not a great surprise. The machlokes follows Rashi, but not because he's Rashi. Why does the machlokes follow Rashi? Because that was also be the Rambam. So we said this in the past, that the Beis Yosef writes that there were three major works in Pesach Halacha, and we were showing them that there are many, many works of Chidush HaTorah and Shas HaTshuvas, and we showed that the three main primary works of Pesach Halacha that we showed him were the Hilchos HaRif, and the Rambam HaShtar, and the Hilchos HaRash. So comes the Beis Yosef and says, I'm going to go follow the road. The Rambam HaTas, two out of the three are going to pass in line. So the issue was, two out of the three were Sfardim. Ripping out of old Tzvah, and that's what Shabarach is tilted in the direction of... Anyone was in Tzvah yesterday?
Yeah.
Anyone was in the Beis Yosef? I think the cave was not open, was it? The cave itself was open or it was closed? Okay. So in the cave, that's where supposedly where the Shabarach wrote the Shabarach. He wrote the Beis Yosef in Turkey. The Shabarach was a little boy, Rez of Kairos. We just talked about this last week, Barcelona, right?
Yeah.
The Rez of Kairos was a little boy when his family got expelled from Spain in 1492. He was 4 years old. His family made their way to Turkey. He lived in Istanbul, which is where Mazda used to be, Constantinople, it's the same city. So the Beis Yosef grew up there, and he wrote the Sefer Beis Yosef, especially the Torah in Turkey. And then later in his life, he moved to Eretz Yisrael, and in Eretz Yisrael, he wrote the shortened version of the Shulchan Aruch. Was an afterthought. The original Sefer was really supposed to be the Beis Yosef, but he realized it was so long, people aren't going to be able to read it so well, so he decided he better write out a shortened version of it. So the Shulchan Aruch was a shortened version of the Beis Yosef. He cut out all the rayas and the papul, all the Shulchan Aruch, he just got to the last line. The Tachas, Allah Teram, the Taizlok, the Rosh, whatever, the bottom line is definitely about Shulchan Aruch. Whatever you couldn't do, Machuya, so he quotes two things about it. So the Shulchan Aruch was a fairly short Sefer, relatively speaking, but it's a very long Sefer by itself. Shulchan Aruch writes that he wrote the Sefer in such a shortened version. Essentially, that is not the Kitz Shulchan Aruch. That was 100 years later by somebody else. The Shulchan Aruch itself was a short and kitzur version of the Beis Yosef, and he writes that it's easy for a person to read it every month. Every month, the Shechaza through four halachim Shulchan Aruch, and just to keep up to date on what your practice should be. So that's what he wrote. Anyway, all right. So the bottom line is the Shulchan Aruch here follows the Shita of Rambam, and the Ramah. Usually the Ramos approach of Pesach Halacha was that he would be much closer in sync with the Rosh, and particularly the Balei Atoshis. The Rosh was the Talmud of the Talmidim. The Rosh was the Talmud of the Rabbi Ruthenberg, who was in turn the Talmud from the Balei Atoshis. So the Rosh usually was presenting the Chachma Ashkenaz traditional Svara, and that's usually the way the Ramah went. So the Ramah here follows Rabbeinu Tam. But even though the Ramah follows the Balei Atoshis, follows Rabbeinu Tam, that normally you make two brachas, the Ramah throws a curveball at us. At the end of the third of the Ram Kodesh, Ramon writes, "V'yesh emim tefillin to the bottom of varach al shorosh al mitzvah tefillin, afilu hisik ben atayim. V'chein poshel emim b'nei Ashkenaz shemavarachin shnei brachas." That's the costume of the b'nei Ashkenaz. Also from Germany, Ramon did not live in Germany. Ramon lived in Krakow, Poland, already in the 1500s. Those who listen to me during Kino, so I pointed this out that although the mainstay of the Ashkenazi Jewish communities for hundreds of years was Germany, France/Germany, eventually that moved to the east after the Jews got basically killed out of Germany. It's trouble in the 1300s, it was a very, very bad century. The Jews in Germany, the kings of Poland were very happy to have the Jews. Not because all of a sudden they became great lovers of Jews, but why did they want the Jews?
Money.
They wanted their money, the business, the trade, whatever.
Interesting.
So, yeah, a lot of good. So they let all the Jews come into Poland, and then slowly but surely, Ashkenazi Jewry took over Poland, and then Poland, in those years, Poland, Lithuania, and Russia, and Hungary, and you never knew, really knew what where your borders were until this today. Also, you never really knew. My grandmother, I think she told me that she was once on a train somewhere, and she was a little girl in Poland. And, like, the soldiers came on and said, like, they just switched the borders. I'm like, you're in another country. Like, this is there. I mean, it was very fluid, the borders in Poland, obviously. Anyway, so bottom line is, the Rambam writes that the Ashkenazi custom, which is basically what he's testifying about, is that we follow the view of Rabbeinu Tam, but then the Rambam throws the following curveball. The Toiv Loim at Tam and Achad Brach Hashem is Baruch Hashem Kavuch Shalom Avod. He quotes from the Sefer Agur, from other Pelskim, that it's appropriate, right after you say, it's still like you should be saying, Father Rabbeinu Tam, you should say Baruch Hashem. And that has become the standard practice for most of us today. Not everybody. Anyone here says only one Baruch Hashem? Anyone here not say Abba Tzitzilin? No Svaradim here, no Tamidi Hagra here, no Griskus here, no?
Someone are sure doesn't say the second.
Oh, okay.
Svaradim.
Okay, the same. Okay, so generally the Svaradim don't, the real Gronics don't, the Griskus are found in Yoga Hagra, many of them don't. But the rest of Ashkenazi Jews, including pretty much all of us here, so we recite two brachas, but we've learned from the law of Baruch Hashem. Where did that come from? What is that all about? So the Bishop Miller quotes from the postgame, because to mitigate an issue of bracha levatolah, because we're not 100% sure of the Rabbeinu Tam, right? Maybe Rashi is right, and therefore the bracha was a bracha levatolah. So just to feel a little bit better, so we throw in a Baruch Hashem for good luck, because everyone's not a bracha levatolah. What do you mean? I just praise Hashem's name, Baruch Hashem, so forth. So the Mishnah is quick to point out that doesn't really work. That if we really truly believe this was a bracha levatolah, or even if we believe it was a suffering bracha levatolah, we don't do this kind of thing. We never find anywhere in the halacha to say, well, it's a bracha levatolah, don't worry, you can do it anyway, just say Baruch Shem and make it up. That's not what happens. So Baruch Shem is cute and nice little, added benefit, if and when you really paskin is supposed to make the bracha, but out of deference to the view of Rashi and Rav, so maybe we don't want to be nichshol. And a terrible bracha levatolah, so we minimize a little bit to consider bracha levatolah. But does it really work in real Svegas? Not really. We have to be really, really convinced that we're right when we take this bracha, because there's a big machlekes in Yeshayahu. Just how bad is the bracha levatolah? So the Gemara says that if a person makes a bracha levatolah, that's like what? Like what avera does the Gemara connect it to?
Kosisa.
It's like Kosisa, the third order. The third order that says, Nibis, Kosisa, Shalakas, this week's part, Kosisa, Shalakas, so the Machlokes is Taisa in the Rambam, just how serious that law of the Gemara is. So Taisa Hashanah writes Akam. Losisa means the guy's in court and he swears on his Torah and he swears. Well, that's Losisa. Not mistaken, Shmuel, Hashem Shemayim. Saying a word for Aisa, he's supposed to say a shakal on something. That's not a brachla batol deraisa. Come on, that's not a nisid deraisa. That's a nisid deraman. It's an asmachta. It's also it's similar. It's like a zilzul Hashem Hashem. But to say that it's a nisid deraisa is a little bit too much, as says the Balei Tosfos, the name of Rabbeinu Tam. And the Rambam says, no, it's not what it says. So again, yeshvi, different sheet. So the bottom line is, nobody really wants to make a brachla batol. No one's running to go make a brachla batol. But again, just how bad a bracha levatolah is a shaila and rishonim. But over here, the only reason why we're willing to go out on a limb and do this funny thing is because we don't really think it's a bracha levatolah. Anyway, we just say Baruch Hashem and Shmuel Yisrael. The other Mishabura makes a point of saying, some people, they mamash goof, they totally mess it up. They say Al Mitzvah Tzolim, they start to put the Shemrosh on, what do? They say Baruch Hashem, Gevalt Keshvigin, that's the worst silliest thing you can do, right? Because then you just did a bracha levatolah, because you just were mafsik between the bracha and the Shorosh. So therefore, correct protocol is, Hamitz is tilling, tighten it, so once you feel it's in place, then say Baruch Hashem. There is a shaila in the poskim about, what if it's not really tight, but it's kind of, it's in motion on the way down. So some poskim want to say, maybe that's good enough, and then Mishabu doesn't even like that. Mishabu says, it should really be able to be behudah, and we'll come out before and recite the bracha. So we spoke a little bit about normal protocol, now we have to get into the complicated protocol. The fellow who spoke. So clearly something changes for the fellow who spoke, and he's required to recite another bracha. The Gemara says something else, though, strange about him. The Gemara says that not only is he required to make another bracha, but the Aveira was so profound that he's the guy who goes back from the draft. He's the guy who leaves the front line. Who's leaving the front line? What are you talking about? What?
Like when you go to war, I think there's a code God that says, like, oh, like, if you're married or if you're just...
Very good. That's it's a code. It's not really, I mean, it's kind of good. It's really called Mashiach B'chava. It's a special code God who appointed after for war. And he gets up and gives a soul speech at the end of Pasha Shofli. It's a whole speech and says, Mi Laish, anyone who just built a house or just planted a vineyard, just got married, etc. Tour, confirming from the draft. And then, on top of that, we say, Mi Laish, Arei Baracha Leibov. Anyone who's afraid also gets to go home. There's a famous story about Reb Chaim Brisker that apparently in Brisk, you know, we have this imagery that in Brisk, everyone was sitting and learning Reb Chaim, and learning Kutchim, and everyone's, you know, saying Chakira. There were people in Brisk who were not from. There were people in Brisk who were anti-from. Everyone knows this is a Messiah, a very, very famous personality in Israeli history. He was born in Brisk. Huh? Bialik learned in Balazhu. I don't know whether he was born in Brisk. Very, very famous person in the modern Israeli history. Was born at Brisk. What? Who's that? Menachem Begin was born at Brisk to such an extent. He's not only was he born at Brisk, his father was the shamus of the shul. I think Reb Chaim was the rabbi. So there's a story that after Menachem Begin became prime minister. So he came to America or something, and he met with the Rav during celebration. The Rav was a major leader of so many Jews in Chutz Laaretz. So they spent some time talking together. So apparently the story is written up as if they were reminiscing a little bit about the Brisk. So people have to make a point that out. The Rav said, who would have thought 80 years ago in Brisk that Reb Chaim's grandson, And the Shamus's son is now the Prime Minister of Israel. You're the spokesman for so many American Jews, and I'm the spokesman for Israel. Who would have thought 80 years ago in Brisk we'd be sitting together at this table and talking to a strange world? Anyway, so the bottom line is that back in Brisk, so there was a group of people who came who wanted to put on a show. And they weren't from, and they were anti-from, and they were trying to make Leitzonis out of Torah. So what did they do? Came on, made the following show in town. They should come out to the theater and watch the following show. They're going to show, make fun of Zils and make a Leitzanus about how Jews go to war, how the Torah, you know, perception going out to war. So they have, you see, like 100 big, heavy, strong, you know, big guys all ready with their shields and their swords and their spears. They're ready to go out to fight a war. And then a little old man comes in with a long white beard, the Mashiach B'chama. And he comes onto the stage. And he says, I got a broken Yiddish. Anybody just get married? 10 guys walk off. And he says, did anybody just plant a vineyard? 20 guys go. Did anybody build that? Then the Mashiach B'chama says, is anybody afraid that they may have done a vineyard? Is the Ishi Arev Lachalei? Anyone talk with Jula Tvila? Anyone do anything wrong? Everybody gets off the stage. So who's left behind? There's three old men. Who are left behind. They're the ones who didn't build houses and didn't plant vineyards and didn't get married and they're not afraid of it. They're the biggest tzaddikim. You have three old men who can barely stand on their own feet and the Mashiach B'chama and the curtain goes down and everyone in the audience is laughing. Like, it's a terrible joke. This is how you go out of war. What a big joke. So people came to Chaim and they said, Rabbi Tasha, make him a chama. It's not nice. People are going to come making fun of the Torah. It's not right. So Chaim said, they described Chaim and I said, no, that's 100% right. They didn't do anything wrong. It's exactly what happens. So, but when you show, if you put on a show, you have to show the next scene. So tell them to raise the curtain and show the next scene. The next scene is the three old men who can barely walk win the war. Because the Kodesh Baruch was on their side. Anyway, that was it. So back to the story. So the Gemara says that somebody's afraid, so you don't go out to war. Who's afraid? What does it mean afraid? So one Tana says, he's afraid of war. He's terrified of a tank, of a plane, of a missile, a sword. He's terrified. So, yeah, we don't need terrified soldiers on the front lines. The other Tana says, no. He's so thrown, the guy. He's maybe in the Vera, maybe one of his. Only the greatest Tadikim could go out to war. So what about a Vera got to leave? Yeah, you're a Baruch Aleva. You're afraid of a Vera Shabir. So the Gemara wants to give an example. Give an example of an aver should be able. Find an aver that a person does that would force him to go back to leave the campus. If he just ever said, I don't know, he spoke Pashut Hara, he's a Shabbos, I don't know. I can think of a lot of, I can think of millions of avers that he did. So for some deep, dark secret, the Gemara picks up the following avera. What avera? He spoke between the Shayan and Sharosh. Now the Darshan go wild about this Gemara. Like you can hear the Rosh, it is like a good sermon topic. What's the significance of the Shayan and Sharosh? The Shayan is the hand and the Sharosh is the mind, and the soldier has to connect the goof with the Neshama and the Gashmis, the Rosh. Imamish, you can give, like, you know, Yeshivat Hasdei, you can run Darushas on this, like, from today till the end of World Wars, okay? But Lamaisa, the Gemara says, the Gemara says that Sachmet Filu Tfila, that's the guy that's going to go back to Merach HaMocham. So you see two things from that Gemara. You see, number one, the person who is Sachmet Filu Tfila is a validator. He's not very good. He was wrong. And number two, there are consequences. Then you have to take another Brach. Again, Rashi's got to be a Brach. So there are two different statements in Chazak. One is it's an Avera, and number two, there's something that has to be done right now to rectify something, you have to make this end of. When you read the Gemara, you always have to ask yourself the following question. What's the longest question? We read to you like this. Chazal depicts a certain scenario. A guy spoke in Tfilin Tfilin. Okay, two things are true. X is true and Y is true. You did an Avera, Chatasi is Pshati, you gotta leave the front, you're not firm enough to go out to war. Number two, you gotta make another bracha, whatever that bracha is. What's the first thing you should ask?
Are they together, or is it if you don't do one, the other implies?
Yeah, so what's going on? The Gemara means these are two totally separate statements that they're both true, and one can independently be true without the other. It means it's possible that one could be correct and the other, for some reason, may not apply. I mean, I don't know what that some reason is right now. I do know, but I'll tell you. So it's possible that these are. The talking is good in both. The two independent halachas that emanate the consequences of what you just did, and it's theoretically possible for them to exist one without the other. What do I say now? That these two things are very, very much related to one another. Anyone notice Rashi, by the way? Rashi has a startling shot in Sefer Benachos, which none of the other Rishonim have quoted.
Problem is that you didn't make the next the bracha again.
Rashi says, you know what the big avera was? That you didn't come to morning shiur and you didn't know the din, you're supposed to make the second bracha. Well, according to Rashi, if you did what it says in Shulchan Aruch and you made the other bracha, whether another haniach and mitzvah, so then what? Where do we send you?
Good.
We send you right into the front line, right into the trenches. There's nothing wrong with what you did. So according to Rashi, the aver the other means if you didn't follow the rules the way you're supposed to do, then it's an aver. Rashi's got to start. They don't think that's Shadi Mar. Nobody, don't feel bad. None of the other Rishonim learned that shot. Rashi learns that striking shot. Everybody else assumes that, no, both statements are true, but we're still not 100% sure. Are they independently true or are they somehow dependent one upon the other? So Rabbi Sai, this issue comes to a head in the following. Not think about itself, because again, there's four lines. But a half-baked line about the stuff, that's all there is. All the Rishonim now begin to discuss on their own the following. How does this Gemara play out for other examples of Sach ben blank le blank? So give me these blanks. Give me the blanks. Give me the before you get to the riff. Give me the Taisa de Menachas, the Flam of Ramanah.
Shechita.
Person shechting Eifis, the Hamas. He's shechting 100 chickens. He works the Empire Chicken. He's shechting 1,000 chickens now. That's his shift. He's up for that. He's not going to get 1,000 rough. That'd be pretty silly. So you make a sheret, kiddushah, and tzitzit ala shechita, and start shechting. So before we even get to Taisis, I just have a question to ask you. I'm surprised that nobody asked me this question. Why do you make the bracha b'nishah? Forget about why you make multiple brachas. Why do you make any bracha b'nishah? Who thinks that's a good kasha? Who thinks that's a silly kasha? Ooh, so wait, let's think for a second. Let's work this through. The assumption of Taisis is, of course you're making a bracha. It wasn't a question are you making your bracha on Shechita. We're trying to figure out the guy who spoke between chicken 679 and 680, does he have to repeat the bracha on Shechita? But the fact that you make the first bracha on Shechita, that was like not negotiable. Why is that? Well, it's a brachas a mitzvah, right? Paul, oh, isn't it a brachas a mitzvah? I mean, it sounds that way. What did we say 20 minutes ago? Sounds a little deceiving. But it sounds like it's a brachas a mitzvah. So therefore, Shechita shows us all Shechita, great. Now we all turn and scratch your head and ask yourself, wait a second. Is that statement true? Hashem can shun mitzvahs and tzvan. Hini muzum zum lakam mitzvahs shatera of shechit. Is that one of the tiger mitzvahs to shecht an animal? So you started to say something, right? What did you say?
No, inheritance. You can eat dairy your whole life.
What am I meaning there? I'm eating a soy hot dog. I don't want to eat a real hot dog. I don't want to eat shmoy today. I'll have falafel today.
When you're
so on the one hand, you don't really have to shecht. On the other hand, if you want to eat meat, then
you have to
shecht. We have mitzvahs. Oh, we have mitzvahs like that. You don't really have to wear tzitzis. But if you wear for you don't have to live in a house. You want to live home, you want to live in the park bench your whole life and never have a mitzvah, baby, mitzvah. But if and when you decide to live in a house, you've got to live in a house. We have a lot of mitzvahs like that. Is shechita one of them? Is shechita that kind of a mitzvah? So the Rambam says yes. The Rambam in his Tayag mitzvahs, the minyan mitzvahs counts. Mitzvah shechita, what's the pasuk going on? What pasuk says to shechita? Vizavachta, vizukacha, mitzvah, shechita. The Torah says that you should shecht like I commanded you. I don't know what the Gemara says in that pasuk. Vizavachta kasher tzivisicha. What's strange about that pasuk? Rosh Rabbeinu says to Klal Yisrael, Vizavachta kasher tzivisicha. Shecht your animals like I was commanded.
What was commanded?
It doesn't say anywhere in Torah Shabbat how to shecht. Not a word. Says the Gemara, Malamed Shetzavah Cheshchita Moshe Ben Balpe. All the Cheshchita that we have today were all Nimtzu Ishma Pishak Moshe Ben, Weishak, Hadashak, etc. All the Dimma Cheshchita are given to Moshe Ben Balpe. So comes the Rambam and says, in a minyan, it's just the same. It says, Mizavachta Cheshet Vesicha is a Moshe Mitzvah's essay. You have to shecht. Again, if I don't want to eat meat, so I don't eat meat. But if I want to eat meat, I have to shecht. And doing so constantly to mitzvah, one of the nine mitzvahs, and therefore it warrants a bracha of a shecht ki nishan of mitzvahs. According to the Rambam, it makes a lot of sense why you're making a bracha on shechita. Yes, that mitzvah.
What if you're a shecht? Well, is it totally in the fact that if you want to eat meat, you have to shecht it? So what if you're shechting it? You want to feed it to a horse or dogs.
Oh, so you want to know, is there any mitzvah, would that still constitute a mitzvah, shechting, not for the purpose of meat? That's a very loaded question.
Shechting what?
Some guys practicing shechita. Let's say sometimes the shochter practice, you know, they learn to practice for the shechta, for the halal meat. Because halal, as long as you did a half-baked job, it's good enough. You don't have to every single detail. As long as you slow to the neck, it's good enough for your Arabs. So the shochter will sometimes practice. So he's not going to eat the meat anyway. So that's a question. That's a very good question. But let's backtrack for a second. So according to the Rambam, I understand what is Birchas HaShechita. So Tosis is taking the discussion to the next level. I made a Birchas HaMitzvah, I made a Birchas HaShechita, and now I go, what do I do, where do I go from here? I just want to know why I made the Birchas. First place, according to the Rambam, so I don't know who the Bach Sultan the Rambam is. It's probably not a lot to guess.
You're
right. Good guess, right? Nine of them say the time. You're right, this one. Okay? The Rambam is the Bach Sultan. The Rambam says the Bach Sultan. I says the Bach Sultan HaShechita HaShechita. The pasuk says the last of Hashem's Mesicha. So the Rambam has two possibilities. The Rambam says the Rambam shot is wrong. To say that Hashem can be shown to us, it's like this, so it's like since it's like the Mesicha, it's not like that. The Zavach is not a mitzvah essay. It's one of two things. Either it is simply a statement of halacha that if and when you want to eat, this is how you have to do it. Shechit is not a mitzvah. So what's the absolute mitzvah? It's a, what are the other phrases? It's a matir. He is a matir of Achilas Basa, but it's not a mitzvah. Or the rabbi says, maybe Bezavachta is an isser.
It's an isser.
Don't.
If you eat meat that wasn't shechted, you're over what kind of an isser? An isser? Aseh. It's a lot of what I'll say over an aseh. A bit of Bezavachta. In addition, of course, to what? In violation of what? Of that tray. If you don't mean tray, you don't mean available, right? Right? The trade is when there's a hole in the stomach or something, and available wasn't shechted properly. So everyone agrees if you eat an animal that wasn't shechted, that's for them. The rabbi says, by the way, in addition to the law, there's also an isser aseh. So that's a loaded rabbi, it's a very important rabbi for another topic, nothing. So there is a machlekes we shown him, is shechita even a mitzvah? Yes, according to the rabbi, I understand why there's a birchas mitzvah. According to the rabbi, you have to say something along the lines of either it's not a birchas mitzvah, it's more of a birchas oh my goodness, we seem to always come back to this. It's some kind of birchas shavach or something about the institution of shechita rather than the mitzvah. Or maybe the rabbi holds that you can make brachas on matirim, when they're halachically mandated actions that have to happen. Like some suggest going to the mitzvah may not be a mitzvah, and yet it gets a bracha lot to be loved. Whenever you have to do something in a certain manner to accomplish a certain halakha mitzvah, maybe that also warrants a bracha. So we're not 100% sure why we're even making this bracha sashlim. In the first place, we know we're making the Gemara's favor should make a bracha for Yishech, but we're not sure, is it a plain and simple bracha sashlim like the Rambam? Is it a bracha on the matir or something like for the Rambam? Or is it not even bracha sashlim, it's really a bracha sashlim. So Tachlis we're making the bracha, and Tachlis we shouldn't be mafsik between the bracha and what we're doing. So we weren't mafsik. Yishech did chicken number one. Yishech did chicken number two. Yishech did chicken number 419. And now, I'm losing it. We walked around the block a little bit, talked a little bit, made a couple of phone calls, going, oh my goodness, chicken 420, new bracha, new bracha. Sach ben shchita l'shchita. So Tosfos writes that, yeah, he has to make a new bracha. Right? Tosfos says, yeah, you really have to make a new bracha. Why? It's the same as Sach ben shchita. And then Tosfos says a second statement. Tosfos says that not only do you have to make a new bracha, like they're equating sach ben shchita l'shchita, sach ben shchita l'tefila, not only do you have to make a new bracha, but guess what? You also get deferment from the army because what you did just was a what? It's an avera. So Tosfos basically drew an equation that says the Gemara state in Menachos on Daf Lamed Vav, by tefillin, there are two consequences of your talk. You have to make a new bracha and you do an avera. Both of those consequences, both of those results are true by shechita or shechita smol. That's how Tosfos says yesh bedachti. Tosfos doesn't know you. Some of the Hilchos Baalei Tosfos will bedachti that tefillin and shechita are almost identical in both respects.
Why is that like maybe bracha on the food or something? You don't have to make a new bracha after
that. That's going to back that in a minute. This is what Tosfos is talking. Yesh bedachti. Yesh an anonymous day in Baalei Tosfos. That tefillin and shechita is mamshid. And then Tosfos says, you know, Tosfos says, Shem Hashani tefillin shemitzvah achasei. Val hasam shem yirtze yishchot, shem yirtze lo yishchot. What did Tosfos just say? Tosfos just said that tefillin and shechita maybe not the same. For which aspect is not the same? So it's clear from the next line in Tosfos that, yeah, you do have to make another bracha. Tosfos never changed that. Of course you make another bracha. When Tosfos says Shema, they're not the same. Not the same vis-a-vis what?
For the Avera.
Vis-a-vis the Avera. Tosfos is willing to walk like a tightrope and say, you know, when you spoke between the two tefillins, two things happened. You have to make a bracha and you did a bad double there. By Shechita, you didn't use this big of it. It's not something, you still got to work more. But you're going to have to make another bracha. They didn't change that. You're going to have to make another bracha. That's like not negotiable yet. I said, yeah, to be determined later, maybe. But right now, Tosfos did not yet say that part doesn't apply. But Tosfos is backpedaling the Avera. Maybe the Avera is not so bad. What do you see from this backpedaling of Tosfos? What was that original shot that I'm reading tomorrow? To a not necessarily married one, not necessarily unclear connection between the two. You could potentially have Chiyuv made a bracha without necessarily being a Avera. What's the Svara why there's no Avera here? Tosfos is not sure. You can see that they're hesitating here. What's the latest assumption that made you go Avera? Tosfos has a funny Svara. What's the Svara? Tosfos says, like tefillin, mitzvah is saying. Well, Hassam should give it to Yishchot, Mitzvah Yishchot. So therefore, it's not an Avera. But it's an Avera. Here's not an Avera. What does that mean? By tefillin, you did something fundamentally wrong by talking. Not because you have to make a new bracha. That's not like Rashi said. That's not what was wrong. You know what was wrong? What was fundamentally, objectively wrong between talking and tefillin? There's a connection. One mitzvah. Again, one mitzvah, two mitzvah, many mitzvah, I'm not sure what that means. But they're connected. There's some kind of shaykhus that's a tzibur form to another. When you put on shayad, you're supposed to put on shorosh, man. That's the goal. That's the protocol. You spoke and you broke up that natural tzibur between the two. That's problematic. And we slap you in chariz l'meyach l'chum. Peshchita, I shechted 419 birds already. Is there anything wrong with me not shechting 420 birds? What if I tell him, I'm tired, I'm done, I'm going home. I had enough. Okay, good thing. No, we're talking about the first 419 birds. Bashchita, no one's for, no one's compelling you to shech the next bird. There's no shaykhas, one bird to the next bird, to the next bird, to the next bird. You want to talk? So go talk. Why not? If you talk, says Taisus, you're going to have to do what? You have to make it on bracha, but there's nothing wrong with talking. That's what Taisus is saying here. So yeah, follow the flow of Taisus. Taisus had the Gemara, sucked into a filler in front of them. Two consequences. They thought at first that shechita is identical. Now they're backpedaling a little bit. Maybe there's a smart difference. And we can split hair, split between the two dinim. Yeah. One consequence, yes, one consequence, no. So the way Tosis is leaving you right now, it sounds like at this church at verse 419, plans on doing something. He wants to stop now and just go home, that's fine. I mean, don't have any times. But he knows he's going back for another 500 or so birds. It sounds like, let him talk. What's the problem? What's wrong with him talking? The Gemara about Sachmatu doesn't apply. It's not a very biyanachas and mechama. The text says, you know what, it's still not right to talk. Why? Now the text makes up a new reason. A new reason, mamash, out of the... They pulled out another one from out of nowhere. What's wrong with talking?
You're going an extra bracha.
You're causing an extra bracha that really shouldn't have to have been said in the first place. You could have popped all 1,000 birds with one bracha and you didn't. You were gay rough, yes, be a good bracha. It's beautiful. The more brachas, the more the merrier. Says, tells us that the more brachas, the merrier, provided they're not brachas yet or trichos. But a bracha yet trichos is a problem. That's a penalty. I didn't say that's called one of the chumash. I didn't say that's the Gemara in Menachos. That's not me. I said it was going to be a tefila. But Tyson has a third halacha now. So, shechita is like tefillin that you have to make a new bracha. It's different from tefillin that you can't really call you a balavera or chadimach mechav for what you did. But the other Tyson says, you know what? Acharei kvasako, you ended up causing down the line an extra bracha, and that's problematic. That's after the Tyson. And how did Tyson know that's true? A bracha the v'shteit is an issur bracha etzvicha. There's dug up a gemara meseches yuma. Talked about itself, Rebbe Yuma. They were talking about the following problem. It's like a gabbai's nightmare on Yom Kippur. The Kohen Gadol does a kriyas atayra. If the Avedis Yom is that over, he gets somebody who does a kriyas atayra. And what does he read? Three parashas. He reads Achrei, the beginning of Achrei Mos, which is the Seir Avedis Yom. He reads Emor, which is the parashas of waters. And he reads what? He reads
Pinchas,
which is the parashat of Muzach. We read two out of those three. We don't read Emor and Yom Kippur. We read two out of those three. Kohen Gadol read all three. What's the problem? Big problem. The problem is a tip of the tip for him to roll the Sefer Torah. What am I saying? It's a tip of the tip for him to roll the Sefer Torah. To roll from Achrei Mos to Emor, that's like 3 seconds. To roll the Gabbai's nightmare, to roll to the Parshas Pinchas, it takes 20 minutes. You're not allowed to. It's a tip of the tip. So what do you do? Read Bial Peh. If you'd ask me, I would take out what? Basically, you can't afford us. No one can. NTSY can't get anybody to donate a Sefer Torah to the Sefer Torah. We can another from a Sefer Torah. Come on, we can do that. We can get two or three in one week. We can get a third one. Come on. Right? So why not? Why not? So the Gemara says, no, you can't do it. Multiple reasons why. One of the reasons is because it's going to cause the Kohen Gadol to have to make a what? The new Sefer Torah is going to need a what? The new bracha, we really don't want to do that. It's a bracha shet shricha. It's not right to make a bracha shet shricha. Just as an aside, there is a machlokes between the Shlach Kadosh. Anyone was in Tver yesterday?
Yeah.
Anyone saw the Shlach's kever?
No, I didn't go.
He makes the Shlach's kever? You didn't meet the Rambam's kever?
We were running late.
Okay, so next time you got to tell the Shlach Kadosh and the Machlokes. The Shlach Kadosh said, very few people got that title, HaKadosh, very special people got. The Shlach Kadosh said, that on Shabbos and Yom Kippur, there's no issue of bracha shetzvicha. You know why? Because you're always going to run short of what? Of mea brachas. The Western Pacific, mea brachas every day, and we're running short because the short answers are shorter. So you want to have a few extra brachas. Not brachas of batal. Brachas, you can't make a bracha eight on a slice of pizza or something. That's a bracha of batal. But brachas and shetzvicha is unnecessary. True brachas, active brachas, but you should have finagled not to have to make them. Let's go to bracha shetzvicha. So bracha shetzvicha, you're allowed to make your shots in Yom Kippur. You know why? Because if you mash them in your bracha, it's not called shetzvicha. But the Ram says never shetzvicha. There's no such thing. The Chara is a raya guru for the Magen Avraham. From where? You guys must talk about Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is the worst day for Mei Brachos. It's the day that we have the least food. We can't even be mashed with food. And still the Gemara is worried about Rosh Hashanah. It's a big tell on this Shlom. This Shlom is the source for some people have the custom who here in their family on the Shabbos meals to they bench and serve dessert if they mention. Anyone do that? There's a minig at some place in Europe. They would finish and then they would bring out some fruit or cake after the benching was over. Why? Because they followed the shloshit. The only reason why you're not allowed to do that is because the brachos are tzricha. So on Shabbos, they wanted a davka from Ashram to make brachos. And then most people don't have that custom. Most people have heard of that custom, but there was such a custom. So some most people don't do that because they chesh yishun magen avrom, the chesh magen avrom, that's a raya proof in the Gemara. Fine. So when all dust settles, the Gemara says there's a problem brachos at tzricha, and so he says, that's what's going on in the sach b'shchit v'shchit. Hopefully that's Shem next week, and suddenly we have to pick up on this places, and then see how this leads into the Yeshov, and kind of put all the pieces of the balls together, what Agamar is telling us in the Yeshov, okay? Good. Shout out to everybody, enjoy, stay real great. Yeah, clear out all your stuff, guys, don't forget anything anywhere.